Gospels. Well, tonight we're going to turn for the next few minutes to the book of Acts, chapter 16. I thought it would be appropriate to look at some truths that really have everything to do with how the Lord worked in our lives in Mauritius. Acts chapter 16. I'd like to just share a thought concerning walking through God's open doors. Walking through God's open doors. We certainly see a few here in Acts chapter 16. Let's look at just verses 14 and 15 to begin with, and we'll pray. Acts chapter 16, verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your presence with us. Lord, we so thank you for the joy of salvation. Lord, more so we are, Lord, we marvel at the reality that you've called us to. Lord, be laborers together with you. We thank you, dear God, for the Holy Scriptures that guide us into all truth. And Lord, we pray that we allow your Holy Spirit to lead us into your truth and bury it down into our hearts so that we may obey you in our daily lives and truly walk through those open doors you have for us. In Jesus' name. Well, Mauritius is a little island close to Africa, and I heard about two shoe salesmen who once went to Africa, a little story I'll start with. And after a few weeks, one of the shoe salesmen wrote back to headquarters to say that he was returning on the next plane. And he said, I can't sell shoes here. There are no opportunities. Everybody walks barefoot. Well, the next shoe salesman wrote back to headquarters with a very different outlook. He said, send all the shoes that you can, unlimited opportunities, nobody wears shoes. Well, there's the question, isn't it? Do we see God's opportunities, or do we see only obstacles? And I know how it is in the Christian life. We can become discouraged, and suddenly we find ourselves in a place where all we see is the problems. All we see is the obstacles, and they can come from real hurts, can't they? But the reality is, every day, God gives us opportunities that he wants us to walk through. And this evening, we're going to look at some of those open doors, and we'll be challenged to walk through them. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, spoke to the church in Philadelphia, in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8, about an open door. You might recall the Lord said, I have set before thee an open door. And what was the promise? And no man can shut it. Wow. What a miraculous promise. Now, when someone opens a door for you, what's the polite thing to do? Now, we know the polite thing to say, but what's the polite thing to do? To walk through it. That's right. Now, think about it for a moment. If the risen Lord Jesus Christ opens a door for us, or does it not cease to become a matter of politeness, and now it's a matter of obedience, because it's the Lord. So we must walk through those open doors, amen. We'll see three of them this evening, here in the Scriptures. Notice first of all, Acts chapter 16 and verse 9. If we back up a little bit, the Bible says, And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man in Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia, and help us. For he was an open door. Now we have to understand that Paul was looking in a completely different direction. The verses before verse 9 tell us that Paul wanted to go with the men he was with, the missionaries he was with, to the east, to a place that we know today as Turkey, Asia in biblical times. And that's where he wanted to take the gospel. But the Holy Ghost in verse 6 forbade him. Said no. God, the Holy Spirit said, no, I don't want you to go in that direction. Now, there was nothing wrong with Paul wanting to take the gospel. Every place needs the gospel. But isn't it interesting how God said no? Well, God had a different plan. And God revealed that plan through a vision to Paul. Obviously, in that day, they didn't have the completed word of God, so God used visions to communicate to his people. But today, how does God communicate to his people? Through the complete word of God. And so Paul, in this day, in the Bible, received a vision. And Macedonia was interesting to mention, because that's what we know as modern-day Greece. So if you had a map of Europe in front of you, Turkey is in the east. Macedonia, modern-day Greece, is in which direction? The west. Now that's interesting. God diverted the entire missionary team who wanted to go to the east. God said, no, go west. Now why would God do that? Why would God open a door for them there? Well, we know, don't we, because we read it to begin with. You see, there was a lady named Lydia who was seeking the Lord. There was a lady named Lydia who wasn't a Christian, and she wanted to know who God is. She was seeking, and guess who knew that? God did. Amen? God seeketh such as should be saved. And there was Paul. And thank God he was sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and he listened to God and stepped through that open door into a brand new area known as Europe. And the gospel went to Europe here in Acts chapter 16. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
Now we'll read some more miraculous open doors, but let's not pass over the fact that how you and I every day have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to see what God, what open doors God has opened us. And sometimes, tragically, we're like the first shoe salesman. He says, hey, no one wants to listen. Everybody's a heathen. People are comfortable in their own apathy and their own ungodliness. And I've been hurt. I don't want to be hurt again. Sometimes we feel that way. There's no opportunities. There's no point to be a witness. When in reality, if we look at the truth through God's eyes, through the eyes of the Word of God, we see the reality that, look, there are more people in the world today than there have ever been. And there are more lost people, would you agree, today in the world than there have ever been. So what does that mean? Unlimited opportunities, amen?
That's right.
Send all the gospel out that you can.
Yep.
Praise God. Well, that's the attitude we should have, but we don't always have. Well, we need to have that. And the reality is, those open doors are not as complicated as you and I might think they are. Do you realize that your neighbors are an open door? Your neighbors, your family members, your workmates, your schoolmates. Now, sometimes it seems that doors slam shut, but that doesn't mean they haven't heard what you shared with them. Amen? That doesn't mean God ceases to work in their hearts. That doesn't mean that there will be no longer continuing opportunities in the future. But we need to maintain an attitude, not of optimism, but of faith. Faith in the Word of God, that we need to keep going with the gospel, stepping through those open doors, and seeing the potential of what God's grace can do in their heart, even before they get saved. We have to have that faith. Or else we're not going to walk through those open doors, are we? We'll stay at home. When was the last time you said g'day to your neighbor? If you're in a new neighborhood, have you met them yet? Now, who was it that went to who? Did Lydia cross the Aegean Sea over to where Paul was and says, I've got to go find some missionaries. I've got to go find some Christians and find out. Is that what she did? They, the witnesses, did what God said and went to them. And that's what we need to do. We need to go to people. We need to go and by faith pass through that uncomfortable barrier of what do I say first? Well, how do I say it? What are they going to say in return? We need to, by faith, step through that barrier and trust God and speak up. That's what we need to do if we are going to see souls saved. Amen? We need to step through those open doors. And we don't know who is seeking the Lord. Just like Paul didn't either. But Lydia was there. Paul was there. God said, go. And that's what we need to do. Amen? That's That's what we need to do. I was excited to hear about the market outreaches, and I trust that will continue and just keep getting stronger, and more of the church family will get involved. Hey, listen, if you've been hurt, there are other people out there that haven't heard the gospel that need to hear it again. Now's not the time to sit back and make all these excuses when we live in the last days. No, we need to go more fervently with the gospel into where God has placed us, into our communities. What opportunities has God opened for you? Well, they're all around us, but we can only see them by faith. Let's be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, amen? Well, if we are sensitive to the Spirit of God, if we step through that open door, here's the next exciting truth, that God not only opens the door for the gospel, but then he opens the heart of Lydia. And this is amazing. He opens the heart of Lydia. Now, in verse number 13, the Bible tells us that Paul and Silas and missionaries arrived in the city of Philippi in verse 12, and it was the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. Now, interestingly, Philippi was a very difficult city to witness in. It had become known as a Rome away from Rome. That means a lot of retired Romans lived there, and who were they loyal to? Yeah. They were fiercely loyal to Caesar, and it was a fiercely Roman city. In fact, it was believed that a sign was placed outside the front of the city gates which said, "No new religions allowed." Wow. Imagine walking into a city like that with a bunch of tracks in your hand. Wow, what would we think? I know what I would think. Closed door. No new religions allowed. Can you imagine if your boss put up a sign like that in your workplace? No gospel preaching allowed. Well, we would think that's a closed door, wouldn't we? But what did the risen Lord say again in Revelation chapter 3? I have set before thee an open door which no man can shut. And that's what we must believe. That's why we must step through those open doors. And sure enough, according to the word of God, God had opened the door, and there on the Sabbath, in verse 13, the Bible says, "We went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither." Well, there it is. There were the songs. Which one would listen? Well, we don't know yet, Paul would have said. But then, verse 14, it says, "And a certain woman," those are wonderful words, aren't they? A certain woman, one particular woman there named Lydia, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Now, before we see what God did in her heart, understand that Lydia may have been the least likely person to hear the gospel. One of the reasons was because, by all understanding, we believe that she was a woman of means. She was a wealthy woman. You see, purple in that day, the product which she sold, was a very exclusive, luxurious product. The official toga in Rome was the color purple. Purple signified that you had a very dignified position in your area or field of conduct. It may have been royalty. You may have been involved in a very dignified position. It was a very expensive product to buy because thousands of unique sea snails had to be crushed in order to produce just a small amount of purple dye. And so as we understand today, something that's difficult to produce is always very expensive. And those that sell expensive products, are they usually very poor or they're quite wealthy themselves? Well, they are. Now, we don't have to assume this because later we read that Lydia had a house of her own. Later on, we read that she invited these missionaries to stay in her home so she had room for guests. So we would assume, coming from Thyatira, one of the main trading cities of the day, she was a wealthy woman. But here's what we see. Though she was wealthy, like many people in our day, she was seeking God. In her heart of hearts, she had an openness and tenderness to seeking God. Now that is important, because we write off people too quickly and too easily, don't we? When we see how they look and how they dress, maybe for the negative or the positive, we always make up our mind too soon before we believe that maybe God is working in their heart. Maybe they are seeking. Maybe they want to know more. And sometimes we don't approach people in faith. We're fearful, and so we don't witness to them. But all the while, there are souls all around us, like Lydia, who may have everything in the world. They may have their big house, their truck, their farm, their air conditioning, their widescreen plasma TV, their internet. They may have all the gadgets in the world, but the one thing they truly need that only satisfies, whose name is the Lord Jesus Christ, they do not have. Lydia knew that. She knew that something was missing. And Paul and the missionaries had the answers to that. So folks, there are people around us everywhere. You know, Suvesh, the second last photo in the slideshow, the young man Suvesh, you may have heard our recent prayer letter. He also attempted to commit suicide recently. Drunk an amount of a horrific pesticide. He should have died. And I was shocked to hear that because we had such a good witnessing opportunity, but then I was reminded again about Satan's desire to destroy. And so please pray for Suvesh. But you know, in Hinduism, there is no hope. Pray to a stone, you won't receive any comfort. And they believe that this is their gods. And so when they come to a place of hopelessness, the only way out they find is suicide, hoping that they can be reincarnated in a better life. Isn't that a lie? Wow. And so people are hopeless, and we need to go to them with the gospel, and we need to be bold enough to see the open doors and step through them by faith and trust God that he will lead us to the Lydians. Amen? He will lead us to the ones whom he is working in and are open. And thank God Lydia was open. She was worshiping God and she heard us, and whose heart the Lord opened. Now that's important. Whose heart the Lord opened. Now we don't believe that God forced her heart open, amen, beyond her will. But what we do see is that God opened her heart. She was seeking. God opened her heart. And we understand that the reality is you and I are not the ones to open people's hearts. God is. And that's what helps us to be witnesses. Have you ever tried to kick open a door that was closed? Yes or no? Yeah, I think we all have. And sometimes we see their sore spiritual foot. You know, we keep kicking. Sometimes our faith is in ourselves. And then we get discouraged and we think to ourselves, well, I'm not such a good witness after all then. They didn't respond. Have you felt like that before? I don't know what to say. And you know, maybe you're thinking, like we can be prone to think, I wish I was there when Paul witnessed to Lydia. If I was there, then I would know what to say and it would work. Well, what did Paul say that day? We don't need to wonder, do we? Have a look in verse number 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the what? Say it. The gospel. So what did Paul share with Lydia that day? Well, it was the gospel. Amen? The death, burial, and resurrection of the only true Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Savior from sin, the one who has washed away our sins with his precious holy blood. That's what he preached. He preached the gospel. Amen. So you and I don't need to wonder whether we're good enough, skillful enough, knowledgeable enough. Look, if we're saved, we have the gospel. Amen. If you've been saved by the gospel, you know the gospel. You've got something to tell. And that's all. And that's what we need to be confident in. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That's what Lydia heard. That's what we need to preach. Whose heart the Lord opened. Isn't that wonderful? God will open the hearts. But he wants to use you and I to preach the gospel. And the only way we can do that is to first step through those open doors. Thank God. God opens the heart. Thank God he does the miraculous. Thank God he draws sinners to himself. Amen? Maybe he brings them to repentance of our twisting, you know, sometimes our accusing. Maybe sometimes we didn't feel as guilty as the person we're trying to preach to, amen? God does that work, but we need to preach the gospel. We need to preach the gospel and declare the whole counsel of God. And even if it takes a long time, we have to go through the truths of God and believe that God will do the miraculous, and don't get frustrated if they don't respond straight away. Don't get frustrated if they don't listen straight away. Well, Lydia did. Lydia listened. And she stepped through the open door. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Lydia received the Lord Jesus Christ that day, didn't she? How do we know? Well, the Bible goes on to tell us that she was baptized. Now, God opened the door for the gospel. The missionary stepped through. God opened the door of Lydia's heart. She was saved, baptized, from what we understand that very day. And then the Bible says something very unique. God opened the door of Lydia's house. Notice verse number 15. And when she was baptized, what does it say next? And her household. Now this is unbelievable. How many of you would rejoice if one soul gets saved? How many of you forget sometimes that one soul often leads to many other souls? Yeah, we're fixated on the one. And we forget so often that one usually leads to others. When that one soul is saved, we believe if they're truly converted, listen, they're going to tell someone. They're going to tell mom and dad. They're going to tell their family. They're going to tell those who we live with. Her household, we don't know who they were, but this is unbelievable. Her household was baptized. Reverse equation. That means they got saved. Amen? This is unbelievable. And then she says, and I'll just be quick. She says to Paul and the missionaries, come and stay at my house. I want to be a blessing to you. I want to host you. I want to look after you. And she constrained them. That means she wouldn't take no for an answer. What happened to Lydia? Well, obviously the Holy Spirit had regenerated Lydia. She was now a child of God. And she did not need an 8-week discipleship course to figure out that she should be a blessing to these missionaries. Amen. What a transformation. What a miracle that took place. Now, after Paul and Silas were beaten in prison, the jailer was saved. Where do we find Paul and Silas returning to at the end of chapter 16? Verse number 40. Have a look quickly. And they went out of the prison, verse 40 of chapter 16, and entered into the house of who? Of Lydia. Now, it's not an unbiblical thing to assume that the church in Philippi began in the house of Lydia. It was certainly a meeting place, was it not? And what my point is this. Woe be to you and I if we're over here like the first shoe salesman and say all the doors are closed when the doors in fact are open. And not only that, if you and I dare to step through by faith those open doors, what God is able to do to save a soul, to save a household, to maybe even transform that household into a new Bible-believing church and plant a new church, this is unbelievable. What a miracle that took place. But it started with some witnesses that were willing to step through and open door. Let's be Christians of faith. Amen. Hey, look, we're not going back to Mauritius believing that no one's going to get saved. Or that it's impossible. Listen, the pagan culture of Paul's day and the immorality that was taking place in the public arena was far more gross and wicked than what we see today, though it still takes place behind closed doors. The reality is God has done it in the past. He has broken through almost impossible, it seems, barriers of heathenism, paganism, and the gospel turned the world upside down. So the gospel is still the power of God to salvation. But we need to come back to the belief in that. Amen. Please pray for us as we return to Mauritius. If God has called us there, we believe by faith there are some open doors. There are some Lydias. There are some souls that need to be saved. God has planted a church here in Malanda. Why? What for? Many places don't have a church. Don't have a congregation, a light, a witness. Why did he plant you here? Well, there must be some open doors. Amen. At the markets, next door, in your workplace. Let's step through. Lord, we're overwhelmed. Lord, the greatness of your love. Lord, reaching down into this dark, sinful world and continuing to suffer long, while the work still continues. Lord, help us not to give up and to give in. Help us not to entertain thoughts of defeat. Lord, thank you for the scriptures that revive us. And help us, Lord, to trust in the promises of Lord, help us to cling to those promises when we face those fears at work tomorrow. When we see our neighbor next, when we spend time with family, when we're persistent, Lord. Lord, help us to live by faith. Help us, Lord, to step through those doors. Lord, keep us close to you most of all, so that we can be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as he leads us on and leads us through. We thank you, dear God, for the fellowship we can have around your word tonight. You have your will and way in our lives.